This is Bev.
And this is Diz.
And this is
Trigger Warning.
Hi, everybody. We're back.
Hey, oh my gosh, friends.
It feels like it's been forever.
So long.
So long, because so we long. Actually just finished recording our last one, but we're recording the same night
because
we're professionals now.
Overachieving professionals.
Overachieving. Not really, but not even close, actually.
Not
but
close.
Here we are anyway.
For sure.
What you got for us, Diz?
Okay, so, guys, this time, like I promised you just a little bit ago... we're going to be talking about another disaster.
Disaster. Yeah, we talked about that last time.
Disaster.
Disaster.
And, so we're going to go out to Libby, Montana, okay?
Montana, big sky country.
Big sky, beautiful, out in the Midwest, okay? So Libby is a town that's about 30 miles from the Montana and Idaho state line.
Okay.
It's like... Almost Idaho, okay?
Almost Idaho.
Like, it on a map...
They should have named it Almost Idaho, Montana.
Should have. It's often referred to as a city of eagles.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Not quite sure why. I couldn't really find why.
Well, I guess if it's in the mountains, maybe they have a lot of eagles?
Possibly. I don't know.
Hmm. Interesting.
But it was settled in the 1880s.
Okay.
And... the town itself is, of course, like we talked about multiple times, it's near a river.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to try to pronounce this. It's called the Kootenai River.
Kootenai.
Kootenai.
How is it spelled?
Kootenai.
That sounds like right? It would be Kootenai. Yeah.
I'm guessing it's a indigenous.
Might be.
You know?
Yeah.
Because out in that area of the country.
The area.
Yeah. There's also, so like, it's kind of.
If anybody is from Almost Idaho, Montana, yeah. And you know the name of the river and we're wrong, tell us, but be nice about it.
Yes, please. There's also mountains nearby called the Cabinet Mountains.
Cabinet?
Like a cabinet.
Like cabinet?
Let me open the cabinet.
Oh.
And they also have the Kootenai National Forest, kind of surrounds the entire town. Okay.
I wonder if between the mountains and the forest, that's why they have so many eagles.
Probably.
Because the eagles like to eat little aminals that live in the forest, I bet.
Yep. So, back in the 1880s,
mm-hmm.
Mining was a big deal. They came out through into the Montana area, and I'm not sure exactly who found it first, but a load of lead, silver, and gold was discovered in October of 89.
There's gold in them there hills.
That's and what they said. And the mine was named the Snowshoe Mine.
Okay.
In the early 1900s, vermiculite ore mine was officially prospected.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. They prospected another mine.
Okay.
So vermiculite is a yellow brownish mineral that they found and realized it had like heat resistant properties.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. It expands when it's heated.
Oh, okay.
So it can be used in insulation.
Oh, okay.
So what they said was it was used, obviously, in insulation, in plaster, and to, quote, lighten garden soil. I don't know what that means exactly. In my head, it means
that it
aerates it or something.
Yeah, that it, yeah.
I
maybe
don't know.
It provides substance without as much mass or something.
But also, how do you figure that out? But I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody who's smarter than me figures that kind of stuff out.
So, vermiculite on its own is not really toxic or dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
However.
Uh-oh. Here comes the disaster part.
Here's the almost disaster. Vermiculite and asbestos form under very similar conditions.
Oh, no.
And so, sometimes... they develop alongside each other. They're like, hey, boo, what's up? I see you.
Oh.
So they're like
neighbors. Like BFFs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so the asbestos can mix into the vermiculite, and then it becomes contaminated with the asbestos.
And they can't tell, I guess?
I don't know, because it's 1800s and early 1900s
okay,
at this
yeah,
point.
So maybe,
I don't
maybe
know.
They could, maybe they couldn't. Either way, it's there.
So... Now we're moving on up to 1919.
Oh, okay. Modern times. Just kidding. Yeah.
I mean, it really was, though.
Yeah, it wasn't really that long ago.
So, in 1919...
Makes you realize how young the country actually is, but anyway.
I know, because, you know, we were talking in your previous episode about the 1800s.
Right.
And all the ghosty ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think, like, over Europe and pretty much anywhere else...
Ghosty ghosts can come from, so far back. Like, 2,000 years ago yeah. instead of, like, 200 years. Yeah.
Okay, 1919, the mine was purchased by E.N. Alley... and became known as the Zonolite Company Mine.
Mm-hmm.
They're mining for years. They continue the mining after the mines, you know, bought out by Alley and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to move all the way up to 1956.
Oh, wow. Okay. So the mines have been in operation this whole time.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. The vermiculite.
Vermiculite.
With the asbestos.
Mm-hmm.
In 1956, they say, from court proceedings later on, that it was clear that the mining company knew about the asbestos risks and didn't tell the employees. So, the mine is still mining. People are still doing their thing. We're going to jump to 1963. The W.R. Grace Company comes in and buys the Zonolite mining operation. They, too, know... that the vermiculite was contaminated and that it was toxic. They, as in later on in the court proceedings, found that the executives said that the effects of the asbestos were, quote, readily apparent in the miners.
Oh, wow.
So when they buy it, they see the miners and they can already tell that they have been affected
exposed
by
to it. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Oh.
They didn't go into how. It
right.
just said that. Before the Grace... company took over, there had been some employees with lung problems,
mm-hmm.
and some had died from those.
Lung issues.
But again, just like the previous company, they didn't warn the employees or the citizens of the town of Libby, which was very close by,
uh-huh.
about the dangers of the asbestos. When citizens would ask the company officials, they called it the dust disease. They asked them about this dust disease. And the executives and the officials said, oh, it's only tremolite in the mines. Okay?
What is tremolite supposed to be?
I'm glad you asked.
Oh, good. I'm
it
glad
just
I asked.
It just happens to be one of the most dangerous forms of asbestos.
Oh.
But people so, aren't going to know
but
that.
But it sounded pretty
yeah,
when
like,
they call
oh,
it tremolite.
Tremolite. Cool. Yeah.
They should call it deathalite.
Yeah.
So they used the people's ignorance against them because they were like, it's just tremolite. And if you
yeah.
say it that way,
like,
it sounds
oh, okay.
innocent and lovely.
So then in 1965, a company report stated that, well, it actually had a list of employees that had, quote, abnormal chests, and many had already died from lung disease. Didn't go into, like, were there tumors, was just said abnormal chests in the report. So, the miners are still mining. They're
because it's probably
home.
One of the few jobs there.
Exactly.
If it's a small area and it's kind of remote, then...
I mean, the town was there because of the mine.
It was built around the mine, yeah.
So, most of the men
mm-hmm.
worked at the mines.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were coming home, they had all this dust on them. They would have the dust on them. There was dust, the toxic dust, all around the mine itself. And they even had, like, the dust in the town of Libby and the town of Troy, which was very close by as well. But again, no citizens were told about anything. The employees were not told about the
And the employees are bringing this home.
Correct. And being right with their families, the dust is mm-hmm. all over them.
They get home and little Johnny, Daddy's home.
Yeah.
And he's all excited and he jumps on Daddy and the dust flies off of him.
Absolutely. And they're all inhaling it. So, they have it in the air, kind of like the whole name of the thing, a cloud.
Mm-hmm.
But, it wasn't just in the air, or just on the miners, because the mines distributed any leftover vermiculite mm-hmm. for different uses in the town. On the playgrounds. In
and it
backyards,
was contaminated.
In gardens.
No way.
On the roads. In the driveways.
Oh my
they
gosh.
Would use it for different things throughout the town.
So the mine gave away extra, or people had to buy this?
It was my understanding that they kind of gave it away.
They're like, oh, this is leftover, we can't really use, so here
you
go.
It's not enough to really be, I don't know. It didn't go into how they decided how much or what or anything. It just said they distributed, distributed
probably
leftover.
Small little lots of it left over or something.
Right.
After contract was filled or something, maybe.
Maybe
that's
just,
weird. I don't know.
I don't know.
Either way, they knew.
They knew, and
they knew
it
was poisoning.
So it was literally
the miners,
in
at
the
least,
towns.
And it was going to be everywhere.
Yes. So the waste and dust from the mines contaminated over 1 million cubic yards of soil.
Oh, geez.
Over 1 million cubic yards of soil. Groundwater was also contaminated.
Of course, yes.
And so then it carried the asbestos fibers
mm-hmm.
through the water, and everyone drank it, which ended up in their intestines.
Oh, jeez.
And if you have ever seen a picture of an asbestos fiber,
it's scary.
It is gnarly looking.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like it's just going to cut you up.
Yeah. I think if I remember correctly, and I, of course, did not research this one, so I don't know, but in my mind, it looks like fiberglass fibers, too.
Yes.
Like sharp little crystal-looking things,
honestly,
almost.
Honestly, it looks more like clothing fibers,
mm-hmm.
but it's just like all
tangled
and
gnarly.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Ugh. Because asbestos. So, during the mine's operation, so that operated from, like...
The 1800s.
Yes. Through 1990. Into 1990.
Oh, my God.
Okay?
Okay.
It's believed that they may have produced over 80% of the world's supply.
Oh, my God.
Over
that
80%!
Of the world's supply.
World's supply.
That is insane, because asbestos was used and still is used in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's terrifying. It was obviously the mines were the significant employer of the Libby residents.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one reason why they think that it continued on as long as it did.
Right.
Because it's all some people
It
had.
Was their livelihood. It was the only way to live that they could
exactly
have homes and kids and feed themselves.
All right, so they operated until 1990. In 1999, the Seattle Post-Intelligencer did a series about Libby, and it gave national attention to the town, finally.
Wow.
Now, at this point, I'm pretty sure residents knew bad things.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
The previous mine, everyone knew
by then. They suspected, obviously, very early on, because they were like, oh, it's just tremolite or whatever. So
right.
The residents knew, they didn't have any other choice.
They just had no options.
Yeah.
So, the mine was blamed for numerous asbestos-related deaths and illnesses among the residents and former employees, duh.
Mm-hmm.
In 2000, the EPA steps in and is like, we got to clean this up. This is a mess.
Right.
The EPA said this cleanup is the longest-running asbestos cleanup project in the country's history.
No doubt, because they had the world's supply of asbestos.
Exactly.
Holy crap. How do you even do that?
Like, how do you sleep at night? How do you keep it from...
Well, and I mean, you would think, like, the mine's owners, I guess unless it was a company outside of Libby that owned it, and then the miners just ran it. Like, if the owner lived there, then the owner would have been...
Right.
You know, so it must have been a company that was, like, headquartered somewhere else.
Yeah. I think the Grace Company was. Like, they had other...
It was other mines and stuff. Yeah. So they just... Yeah.
So, like, they just came and purchased it and then had...
Yeah. They're like, we'll just make all the money. Y'all take all the risks.
And you guys could die for it. So court evidence showed that the executives knew about the tremolite asbestos dust, quote, the dust disease.
Mm-hmm.
And that exposure to it damaged the lungs, and it showed that they never told employees about this danger. So, in 2001, asbestos litigation forced the company to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Boo-hoo.
Mm-hmm. So then, a year later, in 2002, the EPA was able to get the town of Libby on something called the Superfund list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard of Superfund.
So for you guys like me who didn't know what this was, it's something that's informally known as a Superfund. It has to do with a federal law that was passed in 1980. It's the Comprehensive Environmental Response Compensation and Liability Act.
Say that five times fast. Mm-hmm.
It's
basically
CERCLA. That's what it goes by.
It's basically like here's money because somebody screwed up environmentally.
Exactly. It cleans up contaminated land in response to environmental emergencies like hazardous waste sites and toxic dumps and
does it allow for like compensation, obviously, for the victims, like the people who live there? That
no, it is just for the cleanup.
Wow.
It is not a victim fund. It is just for the environmental
impact. So if you live there and they are like, your house is not livable anymore.
Yeah. They can pay
to knock it down, but they won't pay you for the house.
So the Superfund came about after the public found out the risks to the health of humans and the mm-hmm. environmental health from toxic waste dumps that were really like becoming an issue in the 70s. Some of these dumps that I'm probably going to end up doing an episode about is called the Love Canal.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The Love and Canal.
Valley of the Drums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love Canal. I've definitely heard of. And that one, yeah, it needs an episode of its own. That was
horrendous.
A cluster F.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so in 2003, researchers discovered that the vermiculite was contaminated with one regulated and two unregulated forms of asbestos. And it's actually you probably know how to say this, amphibole, A-M-P-H-I-B-O-L-E.
Oh, amphibrole.
But there's no R.
I'm not sure.
Like, it's almost like amphibian.
Mm-hmm.
It's asbestos, okay, guys? It's asbestos. The tremolite is the regulated form, which is considered highly carcinogenic and is made up of 6% of the ore that it's made from.
Mm-hmm.
The two unregulated types were the winchite and richterite, which was made up of 84% and 11% of the ore, respectively.
Wow.
To me, why wouldn't it all be carcinogenic? I don't know, but I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah.
Why it's like considered regulated, unregulated.
The tremolite had less of the ore.
But it's very carcinogenic.
But I guess the ore is not the carcinogenic part. Maybe it's the other part.
But you would think,
because if there's 6% of the of the ore in it, and it's more carcinogenic, then I would say the other 94% of whatever it makes it up is the part that causes cancer.
Is the bad stuff.
So I guess the other ones, if they have a higher ore content, have less of the other stuff.
That makes sense.
If anybody is an asbestos person,
or just understands
and understands things like this, let us know. But be nice about it.
Thank you. Okay, so in 2009, the EPA declared Libby a health emergency, which was actually the first time the agency had ever done this in the history of the EPA. And this actually allowed for additional funds to be allocated to help the town with the cleanup. So it allowed for more funding to help the town clean up. Okay, we're still not helping
victims. Still not helping the victims. Okay. Right.
The EPA said this was the worst case of industrial poisoning of a community in U.S. history. In 2014, two trusts were formed to settle the asbestos claims. So at least people were able to start getting something.
Finally.
Something.
But I mean, if this place opened in 1919 or whatever,
mm-hmm.
then there are people who were killed by this decades ago, and none of their loved ones are probably alive anymore.
Well, you think about it, the Grace Company bought it, so they ran it from like 1960 to 1990.
Yeah.
30 years of just that one company.
Right.
Because that's the last company to own it, so that's the ones who are going to be
responsible for it.
In a 2021 study that they did, it reported that the Grace Company workers were 15 times more at risk of mesothelioma
mm-hmm.
compared to residents that didn't work around the mine. 15 times at more at risk. So today, according to the EPA, Libby is considered, quote, safe. The amount of asbestos in the downtown Libby area is almost 100,000 times lower than when the mines were operating.
That's good.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's good. I would still be nervous, I think, but...
But you know what? Think about how many families, generations...
Yeah.
...had lived there.
Yeah.
And how... Then you think about, like, health issues passed on through the generations. Ugh.
And then I think about, too, all the wildlife. Like, beyond people's pets. That, if but it's like, a mountainous, wooded, forested area in Montana... There are bears, there are probably wolves, there are probably deer, bobcats, fox, deer.
Coyotes.
Yeah, so much wildlife that probably died from lung disease,
fish.
From human mining. Ugh, what? That's a catastrophe.
Especially in a place that I'm sure was just absolutely beautiful.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
So like I said earlier, one of the reasons that the mine stayed open, they think, is because it was such a big employer of the townspeople. And they actually talked to one of the miners, and so here's his quote. He said, this was when it was called Zonolite.
Okay.
I love my job at Zonolite. I loved it so much that if they had told me it was endangering my life, I would probably have stayed. But if they had told me it was killing my wife and family too, I would have run like hell. So that is the difference. If it's him, he doesn't care as much because it's just him. But... Had he known it was going to affect his family, he would have been gone.
Well, and I mean, it would have been fairly simple, I think, to protect them.
Yeah, you
would think they wore masks.
A mask.
So they couldn't breathe it in.
Yeah.
And then when they got done with the mine, like, that day, their clothes get vacuumed off or whatever.
Yeah, even just,
you know, or, like, immediately, like, they have to change out of, like, a... I mean, like, some kind of suit or something. Like, there were ways that they could have protected the workers.
Because even in the 60s, they would have had, I assume, some sort of suit or something they could have.
Yeah.
Think about it. You have astronauts.
Yeah.
Then
well, yeah, they
space
had...
Space race at that
exactly.
point.
Exactly. They had nuclear facilities and stuff by that point. So, yeah.
It's...
You know, we had atomic stuff going on. So, they had suits that were, you know, hazmat and stuff like that.
At least
you know.
Could have helped... A lot, actually, probably.
Yeah. Or, at the very, very least, brush off their suits before they leave the mine.
to have
them wear masks while they're working.
Yeah.
The very least. And that would have kept the contamination just around the mine, and then when they got home, a majority of it would have been off their clothes.
Yeah.
And they could have walked up to their house and stripped down before they went inside.
And then not using that leftover... In all the other places.
And everywhere else, yeah.
Because obviously it was all about the money, which...
Of course.
Which most things are end up...
Of course.
That's what they're all about. So, they think that the asbestos, quote, cloud, killed between 400 to 700 people total.
That's over the course of the entire life of the mine. That's actually less than I would have thought, honestly, but I don't know how many people were working in the mine at any given time.
Well, and you gotta think back in the day, Montana...
Yeah, who knows how well they reported it.
Right,
you know?
And, like, how many people actually lived there. Because that's, like, the wilderness.
Right.
You know? So, some sources said 400 people died from asbestos contamination, and an additional 3,000 have been diagnosed with diseases like mesothelioma. Others say it's, like, 694 that died.
Oh, that's it?
So, there's that.
Yeah.
You know? The incident itself, like, throughout all those years, killed about 10% of the population of Libby.
That's a lot.
But, so, like, I found a photo of the dust, and you can see it, and I'm going to turn around just so you can see.
Oh, okay.
The dust that's floating.
Oh, wow, y'all. It actually looks like a cloud around the city.
So, it's like, it could very easily have affected... The women and children as well.
Of course, yeah, before the husbands and stuff got home. Yeah, I didn't realize, like, it's a literal, it looks
a
like a normal cloud,
yeah. Another thing that they were showing when I was looking through this, they had an ad for Zonolite. And they had an advertisement with Bing Crosby on it to bring it to high society about Zonulite.
Okay.
About insulation and how it insulates faster and all this.
And asbestos was useful for that stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, it did its job well.
Deadly. That's why it was used in so much stuff, is because it was actually really useful. But it was deadly.
Like it said on the ad that it would save 40% on your fuel bills.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Yeah, it was an excellent thing for insulation. So it was
super successful.
That's why when you go in old buildings, you know, they say not to, like, tear out the, like, if you're restoring an old house or something.
I'm you have showing to wear masks. Her an asbestos particle right
oh
now.
Oh my gosh, it looks like a mangled bug or something.
Right?
I can't imagine that in your lungs.
And that's just one.
It really, it looks like two bugs have been squished together it's and their legs are sticking out all over the
with
place.
With like 27 legs sticking out. So that was the end. That's about all I have for that. It was just a short little jaunt into Libby, Montana, but I kind of wonder how many other places had issues like this.
Oh, I'm sure there were other mines that had that. I mean, there
think about West Virginia.
Yeah.
That's like and, mining in Kentucky. And,
yeah, those a lot of coal mines and mm-hmm. and the Appalachians and stuff, but
with their own health issues and things.
But I mean, every mine that you hear about, like coal, diamond mining, gold mining, asbestos, you know, like every single one of them, there are hazards.
Absolutely.
From cave-ins to, you know, breathing in coal dust, like that was another. I mean, growing up in the 80s, you heard commercials all the time for mesothelioma.
Yeah.
You know, lawsuits and stuff like that. And it was because people that had worked in coal mines, because we're in Virginia, so coal mines were around here.
Yeah.
It was all over the place.
Right.
Like, that's what they talked about all the time in those commercials. Yeah. Black lung for the coals. Yeah. So, asbestos mining, I'm sure there were plenty of other places that did it. It's just Libby happened to have the biggest operation, apparently, for the whole friggin' world.
Well, and having that Seattle newspaper do that series about it, I think really helped it bring it to the forefront of news across the U.S.
Right. I wonder
and
if somebody
got the EPA and
I wonder if somebody in Libby reached out to the newspaper, or if maybe the journalist was somebody who used to live there.
No, because that's like Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle,
which
Washington.
Is not super far away, but it's not super close.
I mean,
either.
Yeah, the U.S. is a lot bigger than we probably even realize. Like,
I mean, so almost Idaho.
I mean, that's still hundreds of miles, I'm sure.
Yeah. You know what, though? It was on the little skinny end of Idaho near the
top. Okay.
It was, like, right
but
at the edge
Seattle
of that.
But still, Seattle is on the Pacific Coast.
Is it on
coast.
The coast? Yeah. That is still hundreds of miles.
Yeah. It's pretty fur piece, as you might say.
Maybe it was that somebody was
I just wonder
there
how they heard about it. Like, I'm just curious where, like, did they get tipped off by somebody in Libby, or did they
know someone? You know,
yeah. That's interesting.
Maybe they went to visit Libby.
Maybe. Maybe like, I just need to find some really small town in Montana and hang out there for a bit.
Oh, look, there's a cloud.
And then they got there and like, I keep coughing and breathing in dust. What's going on?
I feel horrible. I'm going home. I'm going back to Seattle where it rains every day.
Yeah, really. I don't know how they heard about it. I mean, it's good that they brought attention to it, because especially in a town that small, nobody would have known.
Even in 1999 and early 2000, like, social media wasn't really a thing then.
It would have been like difficult to happen upon Libby, is why I'm thinking, like, how did the newspaper find out about it?
Yeah, that's interesting. I might have to see if I can find out how they found out about it.
If you come across, like, something where it says, oh, we had an
Lois
informant,
Lane.
Or... Yeah. Where's one of those investigative reporters? But yeah, that picture that you showed me was scary. That was literally looked like a cloud.
Yeah. Google asbestos particle, guys. You can take a look for yourself.
Yeah, look at a magnified asbestos particle.
It just
particle.
Looks like it would hurt.
Yeah. Breathe deeply and be happy you don't have that in your lungs.
It looks like gnarled trees smushed together.
Yeah.
Because it looks, yeah.
Yeah, like a couple of bushes with brambles and thorns and...
Basically, for those of you who are around our age, it looks sort of like Hexus as a tree from Fern Gully.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Fern Gully is so good.
Only gnarlier than Hexus.
Gnarlier than Hexus is the name of my new band.
And if you've never seen that,
Watch it. It's cute.
Yeah, it's good. It's old school, but it's good.
Anyway, guys, that's all I got for you today.
I don't know what else to say about that, except I'm glad they cleaned it up. I guess Libby still exists.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's considered safe, so I assume people still live there, work there. I don't know how big it is now.
Yeah.
I didn't look at the population or anything.
Well, I mean, Montana, like, their whole population is, I don't know, like, the population five. Of, like, one of our small towns
like
or five. Something.
Yeah,
it's like five people live in Montana. No offense, Montana.
Yeah, no offense, Montana.
I mean, I would love to see it. I know I think you're beautiful. It would be beautiful, but anyway. Yeah. I thought I grew up in a small town, but...
No.
I think we did I not. Think when we were growing up, the population around here was, like, 100,000, which is, you know, decent, but...
Yeah, but I mean, it's way more now.
Yeah,
in
it's
our
like
area.
Over 200,000 now. But yeah. I guess that's all we've got for you today, folks.
As usual, guys, watch for deer.
Watch for deer and mining and asbestos.
Yeah.
And if you're remodeling an old house, don't tear out the walls unless you're wearing an N95 mask.
Oh my gosh, you guys, really quick. When my husband and I bought our house in the basement, there were some tiles missing. Like linoleum tiles missing. It was like black underneath. And our house guy looked at it and he said, "That's asbestos. Just cover it and you're fine. But if you start removing things, it brings it into the air."
Oh, wow. That's
so we
scary.
Covered it with random linoleum tiles we found. And we have left it alone ever since.
Yeah, no doubt. I wonder how much it would cost to replace, like, because that would have to be a hazard, like, team
well,
coming.
I
to, like,
think
clean up.
They have to, like, cover the whole house, like, literally on the outside.
Yeah.
From what I've seen before, because they can't let it get in the air.
Oh, wow.
If you think about it, it can be airborne, obviously.
They have to put basically, like, a mask on the whole house.
Yeah. And it's expensive because of that.
Yeah.
And the people, obviously, are going to want to get paid decently to be around asbestos.
Yeah, because it's hazardous, yeah. What year was your house built?
Like 63.
Yeah.
In 60 whatever, Grace Company bought the mining there.
Yeah.
Out there in Montana.
And I think, like I said, growing up in the 80s and 90s and stuff was when you heard all the commercials about lawyers trying to sue for, you know, mesothelioma.
Yeah.
Because of asbestos exposure.
Still hear it every once in a while on TV.
Yeah, yeah. You still do,
unfortunately.
Yeah. All right.
Well, all right, guys.
Okay.
Anyway, that's it.
Don't tear up any linoleum and watch for deer.
That's right, guys. Watch for deer. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.